This is CliffCentral.com.
Evolution.
CliffCentral.com.
It's Wednesday and it is the football show, a show about football. Jomo Sono, the coach, Jomo Sono, the agent, Jomo Sono, the scout, Leicester City, Tottenham Hotspur, Steve Compella, Jomo Sono, the bus driver, dwindling stadium attendances, and the Rhodes University rape protest. What up, Theo Mojo?
What's going on, world? What's going on, everyone around the world? What is going on on a Wednesday? 12 o'clock GMT.
Did you say 12 o'clock GMT?
Is it CIT? What is it?
We're GMT plus two.
There we go.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yes, we're here.
So I think it's introduction time.
Let me introduce and do you. Do me.
While you stand there.
Yes, do
while
me.
While you sit there.
Yes, yes.
Many, many stories have been told around campfires about him. The stripper whisperer.
Yes.
A hero to many.
Yes.
And a villain to none.
Yes.
A man on first name basis with the entire Politburo, an exemplary Zimbabwean immigrant that pays 70% tax but still has enough disposable income to sponsor strippers all over Gauteng province.
Yes.
Through Damalin.
Yes.
And Monash.
Yes.
The inimitable paragon of philanthropic excellence. The man that we all know is the king of strippers.
Yes.
The one and only yes. Zimbabwean comrade question.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes.
That was special.
That was a special intro, Theo Mojo. Thank you so much. I feel happy to be here.
It elevates. You just need
spirit.
That Kanye West.
My spirit is elevated now. Beautiful morning.
You need
get a sip that, out. That whatever
you
say.
You know what? That
I just want to feel liberated.
That is exactly it.
Thank you, Theo Mojo. Thank you so much. Now I shall get into Theo Mojo's intro. Bow down in the presence of black excellence, bitches.
Bitches, women.
Is his family photo. Moto, sorry.
Moto.
Motto. A symbol of two black unicorns swimming in an ocean of gold bars. Is his family crest.
Yeah, that's me.
The first African to import his own personal money. Money tree from the Forbes Institute of Reckless Balling.
Yeah.
The God, the King, the pharmaceutical magnate with the Cardigan collection valued in the millions, Theo Mojo in the building.
Yo, Theo, what is going on? And thank you so much for such a true reflection of my character. The crest was, you know, was a creative expression by none other than... what's his name? That short black guy.
Which short black guy?
The guy. You know the guy, man.
Which one?
That does that happy song. What's his name? Pharrell. That's it. That's the guy. I forgot his name.
Okay.
But thank you very much for that introduction. And here we go with
today's show. Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh. Can you not?
It's the football show.
It's the football show. Top of the dome. You're going to stop. Top of the dome. Give us a bar. Give us 16, waiting. Man.
We got a Nigerian.
Okay,
Ninja Turtle.
No.
We call him Ehi. Durak Jesus.
Oh my God.
Also known as Don Otello.
Are you rapping? What are you doing?
I am. He's a Nigerian Ninja Turtle. Don Otello.
Oh, wow. Whoa, boss.
Come on, boss.
Man. Oh, no. I got to give it to you.
There we go.
All right, let's start the show. So, anyway, as usual, fans can tweet us using the hashtag TheFootballShow. Or tweet us at FootballShowCC, or you can call us on 0861-555-189. Or alternatively, you can like our Facebook page, The Football Show, emphasis with a P of foot on football with a PH. Or alternatively, you can also chat to us using the Cliff Central
in,
web
man.
Chat or
call
WeChat in. ID, which is Cliff Central. And we now have a Periscope account, and we've been saying this for probably like 8 months now, and we have never posted anything. Have we? We've
done something. We have. It's just Periscope's very complicated.
It's very complicated. It's what very, do you do? You just sit there.
Your hand gets tired.
Your hand gets tired from holding the camera.
Yeah. And we will be back.
Yeah, we will be back Periscope on Periscope soon. Yeah. And you can follow us there as well. Follow the PH.
Tweet us.
All right, just going to get serious for a little bit. Theo Moja, give us the ground rules, fam.
So today, we stand in solidarity with Rhodes University students who are protesting against rape culture, not only in our universities, but across South Africa. Yeah. It is a conversation that is long overdue, and we commend those we have been brave enough to stand up for the rape survivors. And I am one would like to take a moment to thank every single one of those brave women and individuals who have gone out, stood up, been recognized, and are making a statement about the complete and utter disgusting rape culture that is permeating itself in South African society, which has permeated itself for the last however long. And it is time to take a stand. And I think the criminal justice system has a long and arduous road ahead of it in dealing with this culture. So yeah. Shout out to the Rhodes University students, and we are with you and we are supporting.
Yeah, thank you so much, Theo Moja, for that tough ground rule. Back to the beats.
Back to the kickoff.
Let's kick off with the EPL this weekend. Eh?
Jeez.
Jesu. And there are more matches today. There were more matches last night. But let's just get straight into Norwich City 0, Sunderland 3. Who cares about Norwich City? But Sunderland come back from the dead.
This is a six-pointer.
Yeah, it's a six-pointer. Yeah.
Fabio Borini. Bit of fisty cuffs from Big Sam on the side there. Big Sam,
you can't teach that.
This is not a pub. This is not your local. Bro.
Yeah,
you can't be starting
local,
fights.
Fam, it's not your local.
This is not your local.
Fam,
you can't be starting fights with Premiership footballers who work out every single day. Guys are benching 125 kgs, man. You can't be doing this shit. But fair play to Sunderland. They're looking to escape the drop, and I think this could be their way out.
Great. Alex Neil.
But I thought Norwich were safe. They looked like they were cruising.
If you don't look at the table, you'll think they're safe. They play with a certain joie de vivre, you know, like
a swagger.
You know,
Dieudonné Mbokani playing up front, former Stade de Liège number 9.
Yeah,
he's been brilliant, and they've got Patrick Bamford as well, who's come in ex Chelsea. Well, he's a lonely Chelsea man who was at Crystal Palace, who's there.
Yeah,
but I think it is so tight in that drop zone. Well, Villa, we know now, I fucked.
Villa's good. Oh, yeah, they're
done.
They've been relegated already.
Norwich are on 31 points. Sunderland on 30 points. Newcastle are on 29 points.
Yo.
Crystal Palace on 39. They're in 16th.
But it's close. They're not that far ahead as well. Because there's what? Five games left.
And Palace play United today.
All right. And then Everton 1, Southampton 1. It's really like a mid-table game that no one cared about.
Martinez out? Is this the time? Is this... Because I've seen Everton fans for the first time since Martinez's reign there saying Martinez out. He had a big problem with Baines. I don't know. He benched Baines for some comment he made about them not having any, you know, chemistry in the squad. But Lukaku, what is it? 5 games without a goal?
Well, it's because of the standards he's created for himself. He's a top striker.
He's 22 years old. He's reached 100 goals, I think, in the Premiership.
He's not done too badly. He's done well. So I think, you know, we can give him some leeway.
That's 11th. That was 11th versus 7th. Mid-table clash, if there was any.
Yeah. Newcastle United 3.
Jesus.
Was it Southampton that they beat 3-0? No, it's not Southampton.
It wasn't Southampton, it was Swansea.
Swansea. Newcastle 3, Swansea 0. That's over the weekend.
Yeah. Benitez's first 3 points as a manager. Newcastle now on 29 points with a draw last night against City.
Yeah.
And they are second from bottom. And they have Sunderland with 1 point ahead of them. And as we said, Norwich, two points ahead of them.
It's a scrap, eh?
Squeaky bum time. This is the relegation scrap. This is where you pull out all the big guns. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Last night, Rafa Benitez benched Jonjo Shelvey.
Yeah.
He benched Genie Wijnaldum. Mm-hmm. And he played with Andros Townsend and Papi Cisse up front. And Tiote and Jack Colback, aka the Ginger Pirlo, playing in midfield. And they played such a brilliant game. He's not scared to drop the big names.
But Townsend, though, I mean...
Oh! Oh, remember when this guy was touted as England's next big hope? He was the big, shining turd that had come good from Spurs. He was that golden English kid.
Yeah.
And he had all the pressure on him. He scored a brace against Slovenia. And everyone thought he was, I don't know, the new Gascoigne or something. And
The new Jack Wilshere. Yeah, no.
And he's just.
And I mean, that's setting the bar really low, to be honest.
I saw that meme. All Walcott's done in the last 10 years is
grow a beard.
You just grow a beard, fam.
Fam. Mandem
just grown a beard.
Mandem, you just grow a beard, fam.
We're tired, you know. Arsenal Fan TV, it is hilarious. It's hilarity.
We actually have a clip of Arsenal Fan TV later on, so stay tuned and you will get your.
Oh, it's brilliant.
We're going to call some Arsenal fans today. I think we've got Rich not yet, Duncan.
In London.
Do you want to say something, Duncan, about Arsenal? No? Do you want to?
Nah.
Okay, all right, cool. we're going to call some Arsenal fans later, and as usual, we will have. I feel Arsenal fans, being an Arsenal fan myself, are the most hilarious people on social media.
Hilarious.
Schizophrenic as well, I think.
It's bipolar. A complete
bipolar.
It is. I don't know what it is. It's bipolar. It is narcissistic I don't know what it
narcissistic
is.
Narcissistic personality disorder.
I don't know what it is. A complete mixture of all these factors.
Yeah.
Put in with delusions of grandeur, I think,
delusions
at times.
Delusions of grandeur.
Which has made Arsenal into this toxic mix of high expectations and consistent low and mediocre delivery.
Achievement, yeah. Now we are in our traditional fourth spot. But anyway, let's shelve that for a little bit and let's go to some more results. West Brom 0, Watford 1. Mm. That's a good one for Kike Flores Sanchez, actually.
Yeah, man. Watford are in 12th this season. They're the same points as they're 3 points ahead of behind Chelsea.
Aren't they three points ahead of Crystal Palace?
They're 3 points ahead of Crystal Palace. Mm. And with the squad they've had, man, Ighalo having a great season.
Yeah.
Troy Deeney. And they've brought in Abdi as well. He's brilliant.
But you know,
he's done okay.
We had this impression that Watford were like a very free scoring team. They're actually one of the worst scoring teams in the league this season. Yeah.
I think we actually look at Ighalo's run.
And we think that's how the team scores.
But it wasn't.
I saw that over the weekend. I'm like, I didn't know that.
They're not a great side. Mm. But I mean, I think he's done what he has with his side. He has done more than it can achieve. And you even look at this game. Aurelio Gomez stops two penalties in a game.
Yeah.
You have to give it to him. And Saidu Berahino, who's already a pariah figure at West Brom,
hasn't done enough.
He misses two penalties in a row. It's tough. But okay.
What you have with Saidu Berahino is the English curse of English players.
Oh.
Where, you know, you put the horse before the cart, or the cart before the horse, whatever it is that you do with carts and horses. And it's a cart horse situation. You give the player so much hype and so much responsibility at an early age. Saidu Berahino was 19 when he burst into the scene.
He had England cap, I think he was 21
at that. Yeah, and we make it seem like he is this great hope for English football. Not that anyone cares about English football on a national level anyway.
Yeah,
they are perennial underachievers. It's complete trash. And now he's supposed to be delivering game in, game out, and he is just an average player.
It is. That's exactly it. And you look at you remember that transfer issue when he was supposed to be going to Spurs?
Spurs, yeah.
I don't see Berahino at Spurs.
He's not a Spurs kind of player.
He's not a Spurs
especially
kind of
player. Pochettino
right now. Look at Spurs in a Champions League position. They're going to come second or possibly
or first
in the Premier League. You do not want Saidu Berahino. You want a quality striker up front who's world class, who can go and slot in at probably some of the best teams in the world.
Yeah.
And Berahino is overhyped English talent once again. Like John Stones, he is another example of what English media and English football fans have put on young players' shoulders, and they fail to deliver constantly.
Right, so let us move on. Some wise words from Theo Mojo. Put that down. Newcastle United 1, Man City 1. We spoke about that. Aguero becomes the player to reach 100 goals.
Jeez.
The second fastest player after Alan Shearer. I think Alan Shearer did it
at
130
something. Alan Shearer is 124,
and he's 146.
But you can't doubt the quality.
Oh, you can't teach that.
You either born with it or you're not. That defines Sergio Aguero as much. And the most poignant moment in Aguero's career at City has to be that goal against Crystal Palace. That defined him
as
a player.
What about that goal against... Is that the Crystal Palace game the last day?
Yeah.
The last day,
QPR. That's the goal we talked...
of the league, yeah.
Aguero!
Oh, my my God. Oh yeah. Okay.
Hashtag, where does football go from here?
Where does football
staggering
go from here?
Staggering. That
but
is,
you know,
Sergio
Aguero. As usual, we believe the hype. Remember how we were like, that has to be like the greatest finale of football of all time. But 20 years ago, was it 1989 when Arsenal won at Liverpool?
Wasn't that the last day as well?
The last day as well, and they were down 2-0 with 30 minutes to go. I mean, 13 minutes to go. And
all of a sudden, we forget. It's sort of like fans have this pre-Premier League Sky Sports era from 92.
Yeah.
Onwards, we only
know football then. Yeah.
Only that. Yeah. Before that, it's everything
there's
else
no
was shit.
There's no football. Before that, there's no football. Okay, moving along, we have West Brom. Okay, we spoke about West Brom.
Leicester
Bournemouth
City,
1, Liverpool 2. Yeah. They've won, what, 3 games on the trot? Or is it 4 games on the trot now?
3 games on the Klopp.
On the Klopp in 3 different competitions. Not bad for Liverpool, considering that.
And they benched a lot of players as well.
They did. Leicester City 2, West Ham 2. That's what we need to talk about here.
Jesus.
You can't teach that. There you go.
Talk about drama in the Premier League.
You can't afford to give Jamie Vardy all that space and expect to go unpunished. There you go, in the back of the net.
You give him that much space, the guy's going to take advantage of it. N'Golo Kanté, who's probably been one of the best players in English football this season, drifts in past, I think, Lanzini, and he gave him a ball, a peach.
A peach.
A peach. He rested and he banged it. He banged it.
He banged it.
But I mean, let's talk about this game. You're 1-0 up.
It's
Premiership.
65 minutes.
And then all of a sudden.
Did he need to take that dive?
That is one of the worst dives in Premier League history.
Yeah, yeah.
Because no, I'm telling you.
There is contact. I mean, but it's ever so slight. Ever so slight. Thing,
do you see now that why English apologists?
Oh, yes. Because if a foreign player had done that.
He's crucified.
He's crucified.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you look at Ronaldo. You look at guys like
Eduardo. Nasri.
Guys were crucified. That is a complete absurdity of what English fans and I think the media has
it's xenophobia.
It's xenophobia. It is.
The English press is xenophobic. If a foreign player had dived
We wouldn't.
Jamie Vardy's a racist.
He's a racist.
He's a diver.
He's dived. This is the second time. You look at United's 5-3 from last season. He dived for a penalty then.
Yeah.
No one said anything.
If this was on Joga Bonito, he'd get thrown in the pits.
He did.
Divers get scored
exactly.
in the pits.
And you look at it and he says, he goes in there, he gets a second yellow, and he goes and calls the ref, sorry for my words, a cunt to his face. You can't be calling a professional grown man who's come out to do his job.
A reproductive organ.
A reproductive human organ.
Yes.
In the vagina. parts of it. I don't know which part, but I think all of it.
I think it's the entire
It's
vagina.
A complete yeah. vagina. It's but complete you can't vagina. Be doing that. Yeah. And if he was a foreign player, they'd be like, what does Big Sam say? These foreign players are bringing in an element of the game we don't like.
What about your English players? Yeah. Shut up! Bastard.
Shut it.
Dirty laptop
And ice. Then you look, 91st minute, they handed a penalty. And it's meant to be.
I don't think that's a penalty on Schlupp.
I think it was very
it's not a
very
penalty.
Soft.
As far as I can see, it's not a penalty. That's
do you think
the
ref was making up for the other one?
I think he felt pressured by the fans to at least to do something. Because
the Leicester story is just too good to destroy,
good
right?
To destroy, yeah. But I mean, here I am now as an Arsenal. This is what Arsene Wenger has done to me. I am an Arsenal fan rooting for Leicester City to win the English Premiership.
Because you'd rather have them than
Because I'd rather have them than those Spurs. Oh my goodness, I'll just die. And I have all these followers on Twitter who are super Tottenham Hotspur fans. And I'll just...
St. Tottenham's Day is not going to happen anymore.
It's not going to happen anymore, fam.
Oh.
Let us move on to Arsenal 1, Crystal Palace 1. A season that promised so much continues to unravel for the Gunners, who now sit in their now traditional fourth spot. Time to say au revoir, Arsene. It must be tiring for Arsenal fans to continue
what
to
are
see
your
the
personal
same mistakes piece. Every season. It is
this
ridiculous.
Has been going on for how long?
This is like 6-7 years now. Like, on the trot, you can see it. Arsene, do this. In fact, I'm being
kind to him. Is it a mentality issue? Which I personally feel that Arsenal...
I'm being kind to Arsene Wenger. He's washed. He needs to go. Now!
His grip on power at Arsenal is so deep-seated.
He's so intertwined into the fabric of the club.
And he's...
he's like
with
Zuma.
Usmanov and the I think Henry Winter was at the Arsenal, what's it called? The fans meeting?
Yeah,
I think
the Arsenal Supporters Trust.
Yeah. And they were going on about, you know... Is this an Arsene Wenger out wankfest? Is this like a... is that what it is? Is that... Are Arsenal fans delusioned in thinking Wenger should go, or is it a narrative that is pertinent throughout all Arsenal fans? What is it?
I think now, this man has reached the sunset of his career. It's now the twilight, as they like to say.
Where he needs to reinvent himself.
Not even. Don't reinvent yourself. Walk away with a bit of a modicum pride, of grace, right? And pride, and say, you know what? And be man enough to say, I have failed the club, XYZ. And no one is taking away from what Arsene Wenger has done for the club. He's Arsenal's most successful manager, without a doubt, by a country mile, in front of Herbert Chapman and George Graham and all those kind of people. And he has done so well for the club. But for us to remember his legacy now, it's so difficult. It's like Robert Mugabe.
And essentially, he's saying you don't want him to tarnish his legacy.
Robert Mugabe and Arsene Wenger
are essentially the same person. Right?
Do we have a caller? Albert, you're on the line on the football show. What's up, man?
Hi, Elif. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi, Albert. How are you?
How's it, guys? How are you doing?
We're good. So tell us about Arsenal 1, Crystal Palace 1. I mean, we're talking just now about a season that had promised so much and continues to unravel for Arsenal. 1-0 and cruising. It seemed like a training match for the guys. What happened?
This is your proverbial... What do I say? Guy marries a street chick, right?
Okay.
And expects everything to be okay in the end. Now, definitely not, because the next nigga with the next $100 note.
You might have to speak up, Albert. We can't hear you here.
Okay, listen. So now, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah.
Cool. So, what has happened? Wenger has happened, actually.
Wenger has happened.
It's typical. Every year, same shit, different season, same result at the end. It's the very epitome of stupid, if not ineptitude of I don't know what magnitude now it is on. But now look at it this way. From team selection to the buying decisions off season, you know what we need in that team.
Yeah.
You know which positions are lacking, and yet you retain faith in a shit or injured British core or injured team list, wherein you end up struggling for ideas.
Yeah.
Look at Ranieri, right? Ranieri, when he started this season, he got rid of his big name players. What did he leave? He left the people who were hungry to do better, hungry to win.
Very true.
He got left there with people that won him the championship in Division 1.
Yeah.
Now, these are no marquee players. These are your guys like Jamie Vardy 3 years ago was playing fucking blue label football, pub football.
But so is it an issue of mentality? Because, I mean, the guys in Africa, I mean, football as a country, there's a tweet that they put out on last night or Monday when Tottenham were playing, where they're saying, Tottenham play like this is the last game of the season and they need to win it. Whereas Arsenal play like there's always another game, there's another season, there's another month, and you can win that other game later. Is it a matter, an issue of mentality? Is there a problem with how Wenger, as a coach, prepares his players for seasons, for matches, for anything? There seems to be a mentality problem.
That is if you assume that he actually prepares this guy, right? Because this chap, for me, looks at his players and he goes, and they play, you know, that mini game we used to call, back where I come from, we used to call them gaps.
Oh, gaps, right? Yeah.
You play what you play, defense versus attack, and you think, oh, everybody's touching the ball nicely.
Yeah.
But when you get to game day, right, the other team's been studying you for yonks.
Mm-hmm.
And they know who your danger man is. They go, they put two men on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then where's your next game plan? Follow.
Yeah.
You don't stand by the touchline, right? You don't cajole your players into having more heart, changing tactics, etc. I mean, the one coach who will not substitute a shit player, even after 5 minutes, you wait after a whole game is done to try and change things, and you're probably 2-3 down.
Yeah.
So it's a Wenger mentality that we have where he... in his own, I can't find the word. It's sort of like if you were to put speed to it, it would be just a shade past lethargic, the way that he thinks, right?
Yeah.
Because he thinks, look at the excuses that he gives.
Yeah.
There's no better players out there in the market.
Oh, come on.
Aubameyang was fucking available. Right?
Gianelli Mbula was available.
Mbula was available.
Tell me about it, right?
Yeah.
And look at it this way. This guy, just because Riyad Mahrez has come out and being the top guy, that the top player that he's been this season,
yeah.
He says, oh, I passed him up when he was being offered for $700,000. So what the fuck are you doing passing up somebody for $700,000? And I mean, for some, he is outdated.
Yeah.
People have found him out, right? His type of football is done.
The Emperor's right. New clothes are nothing. He's wearing nothing.
No, they were new in 1996, bro. This is 2016.
Yeah.
The Emperor's clothes are worn out and it's done.
All right, Albert, thanks so much for the call, man.
Thanks so much, Albert. So you're a Wenger out now.
This guy needed to be out 8 years ago.
All right, Albert. Cheers. Thanks so much,
thanks
man.
So much, Albert.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Bye.
All right, we're going to go for a quick ad break and we shall be back.
Ed and noted that the feather down duvets were the softest she'd ever.
And now, more on the dust mite that is causing the latest outbreak of avian flu across the city.
It was hard to describe such softness, but armfuls of adorable baby birds sprung to mind.
Thanks, Ken. Health professionals have just confirmed that the mites have been breeding predominantly on duck feathers.
Helen cocooned herself in layer upon layer of the abundant feathery duvet, disappearing beneath the cloud-like swaddling.
The mites are said to be accessing the human body through nasal inhalation, and that's where the contamination begins.
This moment was so spiritual for Helen, she began doing her yoga breathing exercises. Inhaling deeply through the nose.
Experts have asked the public to be on the lookout for early symptoms, including elevated temperatures as well as rapid swelling of the extremities.
Helen was overcome with a blazing, sensual heat. Her lips felt effortlessly pouty, and even her breasts felt surprisingly full. At Road Lodge, there's no chance of our feather duvets giving you avian flu, because there are no feather duvets. Road Lodge, the no-frills one-star hotel.
One holiday road trip, multiplied by a four-year-old, Mom! Plus his twin brother, Mom! Multiplied by...
Oh, dang it!
Plus...
Johnny's fingers on my seat!
Multiplied by...
And you can expect heavy delays on the highway.
Plus...
I need to read!
Multiplied by...
Are we there yet?
Plus...
How are you?
Plus...
I dropped my ice cream!
Plus... To the power of...
Recalculating your route.
Equals the irritation of just one single mosquito buzzing around your head. Fortunately, you plus peaceful sleep room spray equals death to that irritation.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
All right, and we are back here, Mojo. Woo! Arsenal fans.
That was... It's hot.
All right, so we've got Rich on Skype here. Richard Francis is an Arsenal season ticket holder who attends every single match that the Arsenal are playing in. And I believe we've got Rich on the line. Rich, how's it? Are you? Can you hear
hey,
us?
Hey, Rich, how are you?
Hi there, guys. Mojo, how's
hey,
it going?
Hey, what's
Theo,
happening?
Are you well?
Good, man.
Good.
So
glad to be on the show. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, thanks for calling in, man. Thanks for letting us call you, actually. Sorry. So up the Arsenal, man. UTA, tell us about
the cannon in the room.
Guys, what a debacle, man. It's been such a terrible season, honestly. It couldn't get any worse, and I think Spurs are going to win it, to be honest.
You think man. Are you not backing Leicester to win it?
Dude, I don't know. I think it might be tough without Vardy. You know what that guy's like. But I hope they do. They've got to get two out of the next four, so that would be... I'll celebrate, guys. I'll wear a Leicester top for weeks if they win it.
And I wanted to ask you a question. We see the infighting that has been publicly shown across social media with Arsenal fans, you know, traveling yep. away, I think, at Sunderland and a few games. You know, we see Ty and Claude, who have become the sort of caricatures for the club. Yep. What on earth is going on? Is there some sort of Wenger out group? And then on the other side, there's the, you know, Wenger for life Arsenal fans that are sitting there. And is there some sort of clash of ideologies? What is it? And please, could you explain it to us?
No, it is. There's two different camps. And I mean, there's been two different camps for a long time now. But I think, you know, the Arsenal fans are just frustrated because for so long we've been promised that we're going to become a world-beating club. At the beginning, you know, when we moved stadiums, that was the whole idea. And we were sold this idea. And the problem is that because tickets are so expensive, I mean, it's so expensive. Every game, we've got the most expensive season tickets.
Do you want to share how much you pay for your season ticket?
Dude, it's so it costs £1,100 a year, but that's only for home games.
Oh, okay? My
Jesus, my comeback.
Yeah, so it's a lot of money. And I mean, most of the people, like, as it is in English football, most of the people that go to these games are working class people, and they spend a huge amount of their disposable income on football, you know.
Yeah,
so it is very emotional, you know, if it costs you lots of money. And not even for the home games. When you're traveling a lot, you know, all the trains and so on, obviously, you know, the golden nectars of glory that you drink quite
the
often.
The golden nectars of glory.
It becomes like a, you know, it becomes an affair. So I think that the top guys haven't managed the Arsenal fan sort of expectations because, you know, it's been promised to us for a long time we're going to compete. And every single season, the same thing happens.
Yeah.
Every single season. And I'm sorry, like, it can happen for a few years, but Wenger is just stubborn. You know, I think he's a good coach, but I think he's a terrible, terrible manager.
Yeah.
You know, like, and Fergie was the opposite. Fergie was, he wasn't a great coach. I mean, yeah, he wasn't a great coach by his own admission. He got professionals in to do that for him.
Yeah.
But what he did perfectly was manage people.
Yeah.
So back to your question on the divide. There are people there that have just been on the brink for so long. And I think in the last two seasons, it's really, really turned. And it's very polarized. I mean, the people who are Wenger in are like, will support him until no matter what he does.
Yeah.
And then the Wenger out guys are actually the core of the Arsenal support.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, man, it's quite a sad state of affairs at the moment, to be honest. But hey ho.
And how do you, I mean, as a fan that goes and you watch the Arsenal every week at the Emirates and, you know, away games, how do you feel as personally? Do you feel that you have got your money's worth with Arsenal this season? And are you Wenger in or Wenger out? Which one is it?
Theo, I'm so Wenger out. but I will. I mean, I'm not like abusive Wenger. Like the problem is that, as with any sort of group of, you know, Wenger in or Wenger out, you've got the extreme guys who, you know, they call them whatever, you know, they take it too far.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much Wenger out, but I'm not like, you know, one of those fans that begins fighting people and stuff.
Yeah.
I just think his time is up, you know?
Yeah.
And sorry, it's just one more thing. Do you think that this is a moment for Arsene Wenger to sort of to look back and say, look, do I A, get down on my knees and say, I'm sorry, or B, he carries on and says that I will change this club and take this to the next level as he's promised? I mean, what is your...
The thing is, I think he's already gone too far. If he had resigned after the FA Cup, he would have left on a high.
Yeah.
But he's already taken it too far to give up now, I think. I think he's loyal to the club and they're loyal to him. Like, he is the perfect manager for the board and for the owners and shareholders, because he does every season, you know, we qualify for the Champions League. You know, it's not like we the worst of fans.
You're not United or anything.
Do you know what I mean? So if he stepped down now, then he really, really probably would have failed, because I think he wants to see out the remainder of his contract. I think personally what he will do is he'll stay one more season. He'll give it another real bash towards the end of next year, and I think he will resign at the end of next year.
Okay. Rich, thanks so much for coming on to the show, man. We really appreciate it, and hopefully, are you going to go watch the Arsenal tonight?
Tomorrow, I'm definitely
going. Tomorrow, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be, I reckon it'll be the emptiest it's ever been, to be honest.
Yeah, I heard they return tickets and they're now on general sale. It's like,
dude, they're on general sale and they're even sending out emails to like Red members, you know, guys that have once expressed an interest to see if they want to go.
All right, Rich, thanks so much, man. I hope you have a good day, and we shall speak to you later on in life.
Thanks so much, hey guys.
Cheers, hey. Keep well, Rich.
Bye, bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Just to continue that, we're going to play a clip of the Arsenal fans. Man them. Listen, bruv. Listen, man. Listen, fam.
This is comedy gold.
Do you understand what I'm saying, fam? The defence, blood. The defence is dead, blood. What's Paul doing, blood? He has no... like, what's he doing? He's a sideman, fam. He sits on the bench. He's doing nothing, blood. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Waste Fergie, man, had his number two involved in the team, blood. What involvement has he got, blood? Are you seeing the defence, fam? What involvement has he got, blood? Blood, do you see the goal? Gabriel, yeah? He's like, do you know why he's a donut? I'll show you why he's a donut, yeah? 2 minutes after that, I don't know who he took out, but he took out a man in the same position, blood. Why didn't he do that in the first instance, blood? Just take him out, blood. As a centre-back, you're on the wing. You're out of position now, blood. You just take him out, blood. Yeah. Take him out. You understand?
I've had enough of this, blood. You can also argue that he's running the player out wide, right?
No, but what's he doing? He's running with him.
He's running the player out, so he's sending him out wide. At least he didn't send him direct into
blood.
The box.
Nah, blood.
So he's sending him out wide, right? Where were the midfielders to deal with? Was it Bolasie who had the shot? And after that, we've got to say, I don't know, as I said, I was at the other end. From where I was sitting, that looked to me like a terrible goalkeeping error.
Like you said, it was just like the first game of the season, blood. It's his near post, fam. You can't get beat at your near post, blood. You understand? Everything is shaky with this team right now, blood. You understand? A man just said, David,
it's a confidence thing.
Blood, like I said in my interview before, motivation, blood.
Motivation.
They're not doing nothing. Like, Walcott again. What's he doing, blood?
Terrible.
What's he doing, blood?
Terrible.
What's he doing? He come off for 5 minutes, blood. What did he do, blood? What's the point, blood? What's this man doing, fam? What are they doing in the board, blood? What are they doing? I'm not the only man getting mad, you know, blood. Everyone's mad here,
oh my God.
You understand? Bear man come here and waste their money, blood. You understand? Every week, blood. You understand? The most expensive season ticket, blood. We ain't won a London derby this year, fam. We ain't won a derby this year, London derby, blood. Who do we beat? Palace away, that's it. That's it, blood. Spurs home and away, draw.
Yeah.
Who else we done? Who? No one, fam. This team is dead, fam. They need to get rid of Wenger. They need to get rid of Wenger. They need to get rid of Gazidis. They need to get rid of everyone, blood. And all these dead players, blood. I've had enough of this, fam.
We know what left the way you're going.
I've had enough, blood. I've had enough, fam.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes. Arsenal fans are comedy gold. I think this has probably been one of the funniest, hilarious seasons. Thing is, a waste, man, blood. What you talking about,
Wenger?
Son?
Wenger?
We're paying big money for these tickets, yeah?
Wenger?
It is hilarious. Arsenal fans, get in contact with us, man.
All right. So that is the last of the Arsenal diatribes. Let us move on swiftly to other more important games. Man United confined Villa to relegation 1-0.
Oh.
Chelsea lost to Man City 3-0. Who would have seen that coming?
Yeah.
Stoke City's nil. Spurs are playing like a team that wants to win a championship.
Jesus.
Spurs are playing like a team that wants to win it. And I have a sneaking suspicion they might actually do it.
Do you think so?
If Leicester City wobble in the next few
games. And imagine United are the ones that beat Leicester and allow Spurs to win the league. Good God. But anyhow, Spurs are brilliant. Kane is brilliant. King Kane and Dele Alli, unstoppable.
Theo Moja, just give us a quick roundup of La Liga, please.
So Barcelona losing 2-1. Third loss in a row. Barcelona.
More than a club. Oh,
a Gabriel Neville this Valencia. Dani Parejo had an incredible game. And their goalkeeper, Garcia, I think it is, had probably one of the greatest games I've ever seen a goalkeeper have.
Yeah.
And Barcelona, three losses in a row. Neymar went in there, petulantly slaps the Barcelona defender at the end of the game. In the tunnel, he went there and supposedly Marca is saying that he said, I'm richer than this entire club. Yo. He said that to them. In the tunnel, referee's report still has to come in, but... Yeah. It looks like Barcelona lost in form. They're a great team still, but what can
you do? Oh, he's fucked. He can't teach that.
He can't teach
Atletico Madrid 3-0 Granada.
Oh, Fernando Torres again, scoring again, and 1 point behind Barcelona. It is squeaky bum time.
Real Madrid 5-1 against Getafe.
James comes back into the fold.
But did you not see how every player was trying to give Cristiano the goal?
Right?
Did you see that?
And I also thought, even that Hesse, the last goal in the 94th minute, was an offside, by the way. But even then, he could have, I mean, Ronaldo was playing at his utmost and he goes in there. I think it was him that scored, right?
He scored the last goal.
Hesse passed him the ball.
Yeah.
He could have shot.
Yeah.
Bizarrely enough, I think they want him to get the Pichichi.
Yeah, they do.
And they're supporting Ronaldo. And Real Madrid look like they've turned their season around.
It's 1 point now and 5 games to go in La Liga. So it could still happen.
Tight.
Yeah, it's
it tight.
It's tight. Anyway, a quick roundup of the South African PSL. Platinum Stars 0, SuperSport United 2. We know Nandi's crying somewhere. Bloem Celtic 1, University of Pretoria 1. Kaizer Chiefs 0. Ajax Cape Town 0. Now, Kompela. What does he do? What philosophy has he? He has, this team has regressed under this guy. I'm sorry to
he's
say.
He's been absolutely shit.
Appalling.
They need to, I don't know if it's Baxter.
His vocabulary, though, is on fleek.
He's a walking thesaurus.
Like, he's a walking dictionary. You know that thing we used to have in Zimbabwe, the student's companion?
Yeah, that is.
He is a student's companion. You just keep that book. You take it out. You can't teach
he
that.
He can't teach that.
You can't teach that. Bidvest Wits, 0. Free State Stars, 0. Sundowns, 2. Jomo Cosmos, 0. Back to winning ways after a wobbly start to April. Sundowns, and then Jomo Sono probably drove the team bus as he got.
This man is—he's beyond beggar's belief. He is incredible.
I don't know if you guys saw that Jomo Sono drives the team bus for Jomo Cosmos. Yeah. Is that really him though?
It looks like him.
Is that him though?
I think he's you know when you say you have shareholders when it's actually just him. We have board meetings where it's actually just him.
Yeah.
He is the epitome. Go be your Jomo Sono. Bro.
Yeah. Anyway, Golden Arrows 1, Orlando Pirates 4. Pirates continue their charge up the table and they now sit 3 points away from fifth place. Fifth placed Black Aces, actually.
Sad.
A 30,000-year-old goal scorer in Collins Bissouma.
What the hell? How is that guy still playing?
He's the top goal scorer 10 years or 16 years after being the top goal scorer. Like,
can you imagine? What league in the world? That?
What
can you imagine if Anelka comes back?
Duncan, starts, please give us your thoughts.
He starts scoring.
How do you have a league? Duncan, how do you have a league where, you know, 16 years later,
Collins Bissouma, is still
you're from
scoring.
Here, you wear Uzi clothing, you tell us.
I think it's poverty.
That's poverty.
Fighting for your dreams.
Fighting for your
dreams. And not accepting that you're ever old enough to achieve what you really want to be.
Oh, brilliant. So it's Collins Bissouma's fault.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
It's his fault for going old.
All right, Uzi man. Okay. All right. Let us move on to our theme of the week. We hoped we'd have more time for this, but it's a very important thing that's actually at the heart or close to Theo Mojo's heart. We're talking about international stadium attendances. Like, so if you look at, excuse me, you know, football attendances the world over, specifically when it comes to like the big clubs. So there'll always be a full stadium when Orlando Pirates and Kaizer Chiefs and Sundowns play. But any other team outside of those traditional powerhouses struggles to fill their stadium, even if they do have any stadiums to fill in any case. So if it's not a match between rivals or whatever, there's no, you know, there's no stadiums being filled. And obviously this leads to people not getting enough money and they can't compete and blah, 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 blah. But that's a very reductive argument. But let's just assume that is the way it is. So I think, is Brian de Villiers still this PSL CEO?
I think he is, isn't he?
Anyway, so speaking in 2013, SAFA CEO, whatever it is, he says attendance is a problem across South African sport. Actually, he says it's not a PSL problem.
I don't know. I think it's a PSL problem.
He says if you have to go to rugby, crowds have been down over the last few years. In cricket, the numbers also have been down. I don't agree. Yeah. And until we've done research to find out why people aren't coming to stadiums, it's anybody's guess as to why this is an issue. I don't know.
We could give him a few pointers as to why. I don't know. What is your... I mean, let's look at South Africa, for example.
Yeah.
What is your thinking of why the reasons are that stadium attendance is so bad?
I think it's a quality problem. The quality of the football on offer. But you know what? At the end of the day, I think the onus is on the clubs themselves to cultivate and inculcate a certain culture of wanting to be at football matches for their fans.
That's exactly
because
it.
Even if you look at the English Premier League is a good example. Mm. I mean, you have people supporting their teams up to the fifth division, to conference level.
Conference Sunday
League
football.
You know, Yeovil Town, people will be packed in stadia to watch that little club
2,000 seater, it's full 2,000 every week.
2,000 seater, it's full every week. So I think it's a culture of sport, it's a culture of football that we just don't have.
Yeah.
Not only here in South Africa, but
in developing
Africa,
nations.
In developing nations, we'll probably have more things to worry about. Like, you know, I can't pay 100 rand for a ticket if I'm not having money for bread. So it's probably much more nuanced and much more layered than we understand and would care to understand. But I think there is room for PSL clubs, PSL players, and all the authorities involved to say, look, what can we do to make stadium attendances much, much more, you know, enjoyable?
I completely agree with that. I think that we, in Africa, I think it's a different problem. We also can't base it on a European model of football because they've been at this for the last 50, 80 years. And football in Africa has been obviously not as as flourishing for because of colonialism and you
because
know,
colonialism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically the distribution of income is not equal and people don't have enough money and time to go watch football.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at the European stadium attendances, right? The big five, Premier League, Serie A, Ligue 1, La Liga, and Bundesliga. In 2000, three of those five clubs were in the same place in average attendances, right? Average 30,000.
Okay. Yeah.
Now the Premier League is stagnating.
Mm-hmm.
The Bundesliga is growing. And the Serie A has just and La Liga have completely tanked. And Liga.
Mm-hmm.
It's Serie A because of hooliganism and the corruption.
And racism.
And racism.
And match fixing.
And actually, a friend of mine is he's going to Florence in a few weeks. And he's going to watch Fiorentina
yeah.
playing Juventus. And he was trying to get tickets. And suppose you cannot buy a ticket if you are an away fan at a Fiorentina-Juventus game. Because they say that there's too much hooliganism and the ultras and the guys from the Côte d'Azur at the Fiorentina. And they cause a lot of problems and there's stabbings which happen on a daily occurrence. So
wow.
they've stopped that.
Okay.
And it is impossible to get tickets and you have to carry a supporters card for Fiorentina when you go there and you go and watch a game.
Jeez.
To stop, it's bad.
Wow.
So that's stopped that. And then also another big, so there's variable factors.
Yeah.
Ticket prices,
yeah.
as Rich was saying,
yeah.
Expensive,
yeah.
Economically, people, there's a massive, Europe is in decline, while in Spain and you look at Italy, there is massive economic problems.
Yeah.
And then another big thing is the uncertainty of the quality of the match.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch Getafe playing Valladolid or Eibar.
Yeah.
And you see, I mean, you go there, you'd rather go watch Platinum Stars playing Chipper United. I'm sorry to say, but it looks like PSL, what they have to do, mm-hmm. I think, solutions, right?
PSL? I think lower ticket prices.
Lower ticket
that
prices.
That league, I mean, if the players are like super paid.
Yeah.
The ones
yeah.
that earn a lot of money earn way too much money, I think.
And
for the
TV
league
deal
is
amazing.
The TV deal is amazing. Subsidized ticket prices for fans. I think a lot of people want to go and watch
yeah.
football matches.
Make
I think
it 20 rand for everyone to go
and
watch.
And we'll fill stadiums.
And,
yeah.
and you'll make sure, guys, like, you know what? The opportunity cost of going to a game when it's 150 rand
mm-hmm.
versus one when it's 20 rand is very different.
Yeah, it is.
You'd rather not sit on your couch and watch the game. You'd rather go there. Another thing that England implemented was where they don't show any games
on TV
at 3 o'clock.
Really?
None. No games.
Okay.
There's Premier League games. Mm-hmm. So they'll show on a Sunday or Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They will only show Championship or Division 2
yeah.
and they won't have that. So the big thing is, do you go that and say DSTV shuts all the 3 o'clock kickoff
yeah.
games? So you go to the stadium.
Yeah.
Will that work? I don't know.
I don't know. It might work. Let us move on quickly to our favorite.
The laundromat.
What do we call it? Do we call it a segment or like what is it?
It's an, I don't know.
All right. Well, let's move on to the laundromat. Element. Like, yeah.
Jomo Sono.
Jomo Sono. Jomo Sono is the everything of Jomo Cosmos. Owner, coach, player agent, and team bus driver. We all saw that picture. And because of that, even if it's not true, he's our wolf of the week.
He has to be.
Yeah.
The man is special. Gabby Egbonlahor went on an alcohol-fueled laughing gas hippie crack binge after his team were relegated on Saturday in London.
Yeah.
Going ballistic.
Yeah.
He has had more disciplinary investigations this season than he has goals. Fact.
Factual.
Fact.
Sinisa Mihailovic confirms he's definitely not sexist. I'm not sexist. I just think women shouldn't talk about football.
Yeah.
Speaking of sexist in sports, did you see what Bernie Ecclestone said yesterday?
Oh, Jesus. I saw that.
For those who do not know Bernie Ecclestone, he is the guy who owns Formula One.
Did you see what the Salsi CEO said on
Cliff
Central yesterday?
On Cliff Central yesterday.
About... Yeah, so bitch. What's bitch syndrome?
Bitch switch.
Bitch switch.
Like women have a bitch switch.
Supposedly, I haven't found one, but supposedly it exists. Thanks, Salsi.
You need to have a certain way with women to find the bitch switch.
Yeah. That apparently, obviously, because all women have the switch.
A bitch switch. Yeah. So there's a lot of this going around. Do you have to be a rich white man to be able to say these
I
things?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. And it sort of gets away with it. You know, you sort of get.
He's gonna be Salsi CEO tomorrow.
It doesn't matter. The bonus, the Bonambi is going to be real.
The Bonambi.
110% of your yearly salary, you'll probably get it at the
Bernie
end of the
Ecclestone
year.
Bernie Ecclestone will still own Formula 1
care.
Next year. What did he say? He says we can't have women drivers in Formula 1 because
they can't drive cars or something.
And they can't be taken seriously.
Yeah. And so, basically, they're not a marketing tool for Formula 1. Yeah.
And then Arturo Vidal went down like a sack of potatoes in last night's German Cup match. Did you see that?
Oh my God!
Dive.
Have some dignity. No, have some dignity. Your children have to watch
touched,
that.
Though. He went down like a sack of Chilean potatoes.
Yeah, like a sack of Chilean potatoes.
You can't teach that. You can't teach that.
Oh yes, Vardy's dive was at least had contact.
It had contact, but still xenophobic English press. Yeah, you can go jump off a Jamie Vardy racist cliff.
Fuck the Daily Mail.
Yes.
Vinnie Jones is to play ex-Leicester manager Nigel Pearson in the Jamie Vardy epic movie. We need explosions.
We need explosions.
Chat shit. Whenever get back.
Whenever he shoots, there must be an explosion.
There must be. It has to be. Vardy it has to be basically it. Like Transformers, but in a Jamie Vardy movie. Jamie so Vardy it's literally movie. Like an hour and a half.
So there's
going to
be
explosions.
Racism. There's going to be
goals.
There's going to be
explosions.
Strip
naked
clubs.
Women.
Did he also go to Thailand with that?
No, he didn't go to Thailand.
He wasn't a part of that Thai, yeah. Whatever. Okay, all right. Well.
So there's going to be lots of that. Exciting stuff.
Newcastle's Daryl Yanmat broke two fingers after punching a dressing room wall during Southampton defeat.
Can you imagine what Newcastle fans have been punching? Besides horses.
Besides horses.
Which they've done. Go Google it.
And then ex-agent accuses Luis Suarez of having psychological problems and difficulties with counting. Suarez is a liar. He is brazen and shameless. He is lying. He has psychological problems. He goes to a psychologist, but it's not working. What? Is this Guardiola's brother?
No, he's the Uruguayan agent. I think he had
before
he went when he went to Ajax.
Okay.
Suarez has psychological problems. World.
Yeah.
We've given you the facts.
Okay. As they are given to us.
As they are given to us. He is a psychological nutcase.
All right. And then an emotional Roma commentator was on the verge of tears as Francesco Totti equalized for the Rome team in a last-minute win over the weekend. Last-minute draw, sorry.
This guy.
But this could be his last season. I totally.
He's got 5 games left.
Yeah, I would
of
cry.
His entire life.
If I was a
life,
Roma commentator, I'd probably be crying. It's like if I was watching Moses Chunga's last match. Dude. Oh my God! It is Moses Chunga in the last minute against Zimbabwe Dynamo. Oh, what a goal! What a
Chunga with the goal! Zimbabwe is rocking.
Zimbabwe is rocking to the tune of the Reza man. What a goal! What a man! Good night. Goodbye, Africa. Hello. Like something like that. I don't know.
I think I would have wet myself.
I would have wet myself. And then control alt delete. Technical error sees Ross County FC's website accidentally deleted. As in the entire website.
Literally the whole club's website. How poor are these guys?
Yeah.
How shit are their IT systems as well?
It's pretty shit. You can't teach that.
And also, proving once again that he's the sharpest sandwich in
he's
the drawer.
Not the sharpest, sandwich.
Jackie Boy Wilshere, also known as the man that starts fights outside clubs
and hides behind a dustbin
when he's getting his ass kicked,
suffered
a minor social media boo-boo over the weekend when he accidentally used a silhouetted picture of the three Manchester United legend Law, Best and Charlton as his undying love for Arsenal. Wow, Jack Wilshere.
Anyway, that's all we've got for you today on the football show. Remember,
it's been fun.
Great. Remember, be kind to strippers. All boobs matter.
And may the swag be with you.
Thank you. We love you guys. We love you.
Cheers, bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.